Career ending, right? My question to you is, are these kinds of, I would call them inconvenient social media industries, are they a feature or a bug for this administration? Like, are they getting hired despite all of this, or because of it?
You know, the post on the official government account, they're indistinguishable from what you would read on 4chan or like the darkest corner of Twitter 10 years ago. So I think it's a feature. And to your point, I completely forgot about this. Not only because there's so many stories like this. You know, there's Paul and Gracia, I think, last year, right? I hope I'm not preempting anything here, but like, you know, I think he said, I have a Nazi streak. Right, and you know, the MAGA movement defended them. I think of Darren Beatty, who was hired to the State Department despite having spoken at the at a white supremacist conference.
There's somebody in Doge, right?
Oh yeah, there's somebody in Doge.
Who said something anti-Indian,
I
recall,
yeah.
Was fired, and then
J.D. Vance defended him. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a safe bet at this point that, you know, in the White House, in most corners, Capitol Hill, in Republican offices, they are staffed by young people who are essentially Groypers. And by Groypers, I mean kind of the young white nationalists.
But to even enter the Trump administration, to be considered for a post, a political appointment, you have to deny the results of the 2020 election.
Yeah.
And that limits the talent pool dramatically. And then you're winnowing it down to get someone for this post. It just kind of makes my jaw drop every time I see, you know, this guy who's up for assistant secretary of international organization, which is normally, you know, someone who's a hardcore diplomat, player, hitter of the world, stepping in, sometimes they go on to be an ambassador. This guy who is complaining about white discrimination or something, you know, and it's
according to the New York Times, he complained about white Americans being second class citizens, white erasure, and he has said the Jews look to see themselves as oppressed.
It doesn't seem like his career has been devoted to making sure that international organizations work. So he has no qualifications whatsoever. Unless this is a qualification.
And I think like this is what we're talking about. I think you mentioned at the beginning, this administration doesn't care about expertise. It cares about loyalty. And it cares that you will do whatever you tell them. So expertise is very low on, you know, the priority list of this administration. You know, it reminds me of, like, I reported a story in Idaho about 5 years ago about kind of the radicalization of the GOP there. And this phenomenon was happening where there was a purge of people with expertise and a prioritization of people that were loyal to the far right kind of faction of the GOP, where you ended up having people that, you know, denied the efficacy of vaccines leading the health board, you know, and with the same phenomenon now.
Were they also doing cocaine off the toilet seat?
That's an RFK Jr.
Sorry, that's my death. Chris Mathias, thank you so much for your time this evening. Really appreciate it. Up next, congratulations to President Trump. He just won the inaugural Undisputed Champion of Beautiful Clean Coal Award. Yes, another participation trophy. You're watching The Weekend Primetime on MS Now.
Sisters are running early.
Early? This headache.
We've got an hour. Try Pain Quote. It's the max strength liquid pain reliever that starts working fast. Pain Quill, the pain strings, head pounding, back aching, flexing fast. Medicine.
Dry eyes still gritty, scratchy, and tired? With Mibo, I can feel
Mibo.
Mibo is the only prescription dry eye salve that targets too much tear evaporation by forming a protective layer.
Mibo.
Don't use if allergic to Mibo. Remove contacts before using. Wait at least 30 minutes before putting them back in. Eye redness and blurred vision may occur.
Mibo.
Ask your eye doctor about Mibo. No, but pursuing your passion. No one wants to be known for cancer, but a treatment can be. Keytruda is an immunotherapy known to treat cancer. FDA approved for 18 types of cancer. One of those cancers is early-stage non-small cell.
cell lung cancer. Keytruda may be used with certain chemotherapy before surgery when you have early-stage lung cancer, which can be removed by surgery, and then continued alone after surgery to help prevent the lung cancer from coming back.
Keytruda can cause your immune system to attack healthy parts of your body during or after treatment. This may be severe and lead to death. See your doctor right away if you have cough, shortness of breath, chest pain, diarrhea, severe stomach pain, nausea or vomiting, headache, eye problems, irregular heartbeat, extreme tiredness, constipation, dizziness or fainting, changes in appetite, thirst or urine, confusion, memory problems, persistent or severe muscle pain or weakness, muscle cramps, fever, rash, itching or flushing. There may be other side effects. Tell your doctor about all medical conditions, including immune or nervous system problems, such as Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, lupus, myasthenia gravis, or Guillain-Barré syndrome, and organ, tissue, or stem cell transplant, or receive chest radiation. Keytruda can harm your own baby.
See all the types of cancer Keytruda is known for at Keytruda.com and ask your doctor if Keytruda can be right for you. It's true. Keytruda.
After my accident, I couldn't quite do things I had used to. When my dad actually was close to me, I love the support, and when I got into martial arts, we got in and did it. A real fight deserves a real boost.
Thinking of updating my kitchen?
Yes.
Yes. This year, we are finally updating our kitchen with subway tile and ivory or eggshell ring. Maybe bone. Don't get me started on the fourth.
For everyone who talks about doing that thing, but never does that thing, take that financial guidance.
You can start saving to make this happen.
Really? At home or in person?
You can also check out Chase High School.
That's guidance from Chase. Make more of what's yours.
You know what's all good? That's why I say Prilosec OTC. Because one field of Jenny's like Parker, I like my friend here popping that ass.
Donald Trump won yet another fake award this week, this time from the coal lobby.
So we're not allowed to say the word coal anymore. It has to be preceded by beautiful, clean coal.
Toby says the undisputed champion of beautiful, clean coal. Thank you.
He got that coveted trophy because Trump has pledged to reverse coal's long decline, even though mining jobs are down 90% over the last century. We don't need nearly as much coal today as we used to. Gas, natural gas, renewables, nuclear, they're all cheaper, cleaner, more efficient. Solar energy alone actually employs 7 times more people than coal. Army employees nearly double, and yet you don't see the president signing executive orders subsidizing road speeds. So why is Trump so hell-bent on bringing back coal? He's ordered our government to buy it. He's ordered coal plants that are scheduled to close to keep operating anyway, even when they're suffering mechanical failure. He's opened up millions of acres of federal land to mine. And he's also rolled out a new cartoon mascot named Coley. Yeah, I'm not making that up. Look at those big, sweet, adorable eyes. Trump is making it easier for companies to poison you, but he wants them to look cute while they're doing it. To be clear, these companies are not just poisoning the general public. They're also poisoning coal miners, the workers that Trump is supposedly there to help. In 1969, tens of thousands of miners went on strike for more protections against black lungs, and they won. Disease rates dropped for decades until this guy showed up. Doge gutted the agency that screened coal miners for black lungs, fired hundreds of staff, shut down the mobile testing unit, and closed dozens of mine safety offices. And this is happening in the middle of the worst black lung epidemic in a generation. 1 in 5 miners in central Appalachia now has the disease. But Trump's worst, most damaging favor to fossil fuel companies arguably happened this past Thursday. It probably sounds a little bit technical. He repealed the official scientific finding that has given the government the authority to fight climate change. Translated into English, that means the EPA is eliminating its own power to cut climate pollution and regulate greenhouse gas emissions from cars, industrial plants, and rejected coal plants. It is a gift to the fossil fuel lobby, and as for the rest of us, we are cooked. Joining us now to discuss all of that is David Wallace Wells, New York Times opinion writer and magazine columnist. He is also the author of The Uninhabitable Earth. David, so I want to talk with you first of all about this new regulatory change, that they are getting rid of the so-called endangerment finding that underpins equivalent ability to regulate greenhouse gas emissions. How significant do you think that is?
Well, the first thing to know is that it's going to be challenged in the courts, and we don't really know how that's going to go. But even if the repeal does hold, I think it's probably less damaging than many liberals, many Americans concerned about climate change fear. This has been an important tool for the EPA, but it's not the main reason that American emissions have been going down steadily for the last couple of decades, and I suspect it won't be a main driver of climate outcomes going forward. For me, the main blow is symbolic, and that's to say that it's the federal government saying, we don't care. We're not going to fight climate change. We're not going to count climate damages. We don't believe they exist. We're not going to tabulate them, and we're not going to develop any policy to address them. And what's most distressing to me about that is that if the Trump administration tried to do that in 2017 when it was first in office, it would have been completely out of line with the social and political energy of the country. And now I fear that we're in a place where many more Americans are basically taking a position of, you know, normalization when it comes to climate, where we've somewhat come to terms with the fact that the planet's warming, somewhat come to terms with that there are going to be disasters and damages. We're not nearly as alarmed about it as we were a few years ago, and in a certain way, we're therefore kind of in line with where the Trump administration
is. What's driving that apathy and, I guess, that acceptance?
There's a lot of stuff going on that went into it. You know, part of it is that we made a big effort at climate legislation. A lot of energy was spent on that. Some people think that because we're making progress now on cutting our emissions, that we can sort of rest easy. Part of it is that we're now seeing climate disasters like the ones that we feared, and we're learning to live with them. We had the California fires just last January, absolutely catastrophic disaster of the kind that we would have thought a few years ago would have alarmed the country into a complete climate panic. I mean, you know, a whole neighborhood and a half of a neighborhood in the world's global capital wiped off the map overnight. This is the kind of thing that used to animate climate nightmares. And we saw that, and we all sort of went on with our lives.
I also think about the Texas floods.
Absolutely.
Children literally lost in that.
Any one of these 10 years ago, we would have looked at it and said, this is going to be the kind of disaster that can really light the fire under the whole country. But in fact, it seems as though as we move further into a future of climate, more and more climate disasters, we're learning how to live among them. And maybe that's a positive sign. Maybe it means that the future that looked completely unlivable a few years ago will find ways to live in. But I think it's also an indictment of our moral imagination.
That's only a positive sign if we actually make adaptations. Like, if we're not going to try to cut emissions, which it seems like we're not doing, if we want to be doing some infrastructure improvements at least to...
We are steadily cutting emissions. Our emissions have been going down since 2005. We're just not doing it nearly fast enough to bring the world anywhere near the climate goals that we defined as essential not that long ago. And so we're going to end up much warmer than we thought was going to be acceptable just a few years ago. And that's one of the things that I find most alarming about this period of normalization that we're in. You know, in 2018, 2019, we read a lot of climate stories that really alarmed us, that really woke us up. They led to this climate movements, they led to this climate legislation. The country and the world was really worried. We are now heading towards a future that is well past the things that panicked us then, and we're figuring out ways to not be panicked.
But it also seems like American men and women around the world, various governments, are just unwilling to fundamentally change their behavior as long as other nations are continuing down their own path, like China. So is there potentially a private sector solution that you could see? I mean, carbon capture doesn't really seem to be the answer. Like, what? Because it almost seems like we have to find a way for someone else to make money off of this disaster.
Well, we've sort of really lost the climate politics and we've lost the climate alarm, but the business side of it is moving along quite rapidly. In America last year, 90% of all new electricity that was installed was green. So for every unit of dirty energy that we installed last year, we installed 9 units of the clean stuff. Globally, the proportion is even higher. You mentioned China. I mean, China is producing 2/3 of the world's green energy right now. They're exporting all over the world. They're producing a solar boom all across sub-Saharan Africa. You're seeing 74% of EVs sold in Nepal last year. 74% of cars sold in Nepal last year. Where EVs, half of all cars sold in Nepal last year, where EVs in China also more than half. India is now decarbonizing, actually doing it faster at an earlier rate of GDP growth than China did. So we're seeing actually around the world many other countries moving much faster. And the U.S. is the outlier here. At the geopolitical level, you may not hear that much about climate at Davos or at these COP conferences. You may not hear as much alarm, but many of the countries are moving rapidly as the United States is embracing its role as a petrostate, the world's largest producer and exporter of both oil and gas in the United States. And we are leaning into that future as opposed to the green electro-tech future that any far-seeing future-forward country anywhere else in the world.
We're blocking it, though. And to your point, at the Munich conference, it seems like saving the world from AI was more of a focus than saving the world from climate change. But we'll have to have you back to talk about that. Thank you so much, David Wallace-Wills, for being with us. And up next, the president's latest move to overhaul who has control over elections. You're watching the weekend primetime on MS Now.
So much stuff.
Move past paying with Vicks Vapor Freeze. Get hours of pain relief, maximum strength benefits, plus powerful Vicks Vapors.
Call it!
Vapor Freeze, your pain.
Oh, I see from the Z furnished feature on homes.com, not a port to review tours. It's the true digital model of a listing. Pay furnished.
I can't wait till we sell the
palace. Homes.com, the place to find a place.
Don't let congestion take over. Have no trip. Wow. Ridiculously fast nasal congestion relief. The wow is real. Try new drug-free Advil daily.
COPD is an ugly reality. I watch as this world just keeps getting smaller. But then, Trelegy helped us see things a little differently. With new medicines in one inhaler, Trelegy keeps airways open for a full 24 hours and prevents future flare-ups. Once daily Trelegy also improves your lung function, so you can breathe more freely all day and night.
Trelegy won't replace a rescue inhaler for sudden breathing problems. Tell your doctor if you have a heart condition or high blood pressure before taking it. Do not take Trelegy more than prescribed. Trelegy may increase your risk of thrush, pneumonia, and osteoporosis. Call your doctor for some breathing, chest pain, mouth or tongue swelling, problems urinating, vision changes, or eye panic occurs.
Ask your doctor about once daily Trelegy for COPD, because breathing should be beautiful all day and night.
My moderate to severe plaque psoriasis held me back, but now I'm all in with clear skin. Thanks to Skyrizi.
Most people achieve clear skin from head to toe. Many were 100% plaque free. And many were completely clear even at 5 years.
People also saw significant improvement in pain, redness, itching, and burning.
Don't use if allergic. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight that may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and TB. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Learn how AbbVie can help you save.
Great pair of lungs. Shame about your swollen gums. You need Paranoitac, clinically proven to help with 4 signs of early gum disease. The gum experts.
So much stuff.
Move past pain with Vicks Vapor Freeze. Get hours of pain relief with maximum strength menthol, plus powerful Vicks Vapors.
Call it!
Vapor Freeze your pain.
This much I know to be true in life, politics, and sports. Usually only losers try to change the rules in the middle of the game. With less than 9 months before November's midterm elections, President Trump is trying to overhaul federal election laws. He's made his next move clear just yesterday on his social media site, the Truth, that he would issue an executive order requiring voters to show ID to register and cast a ballot, and he says it will happen, quote,
whether approved by Congress or not. Right now, there's a bill that would put these restrictions in the law. It's called the Save America Act, and it's sitting in the Senate. But at this point, Republicans don't have the votes to get it to the resolute desk. It just passed the House this week on partisan lines. The bill would require all Americans to prove their U.S. citizenship when registering to vote. Then voters would have to present ID when casting ballots in person or by mail, no matter what state laws say. Okay, so here is my problem with how Democrats are handling this issue. Over 80% of Americans consistently in Q and Gallup polls support some kind of voter ID law. Now, if you get into some specifics, and if you hadn't started having a birth certificate or passport, maybe it was a little bit, but this is one of those issues, kind of like universal background checks or first trimester abortions is around 70%, that Americans overwhelmingly support. So Democrats are defensively have this posture that is out of step with the American public over a bill that's not even going to get passed, and they're just political leaders.
I don't know how much political risk there is for them right now, and I think that they actually have some stuff to point to. In particular, the state of Kansas actually tried to implement a law very similar to what the SAVE Act is basically proposing here. And I just want to give people a sense of what happened in Kansas in the aftermath of that. So when they basically passed this law, so you had to have your birth certificate, passport, a federal judge found 12.4% of Kansans who tried to register between 2013 and 2015 after the implementation of this were blocked. That's about 31,000 eligible voters blocked. There were lawsuits up the wazoo about this, and a federal court concluded the number of sort of confirmed non-citizens, because that was a concern here, that there were these large numbers of people who were not voting. That's why you needed to add these major hurdles for citizens and eligible people to vote. Between 1999 and 2013 in the state, they can only find about 0.002% of people who registered. So didn't actually end up voting, mistakenly registered, which is actually very common. You go to get a driver's license, you're legally present, but you're not a citizen, and someone gives you a form, and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm signing this form. They were included in that number of people. And so, I mean, it is a solution in search of a problem.